Here's another inspiring message from Northside Community Church, Sydney.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church, and it's good to have you with us. And I want to say a big welcome and hello to all of those who are watching online, either right now or who will be in the weeks to come. If you could just put in the chat where you're watching from, whether it's what suburb you're in, what city, what town. We may have some people watching from my home state, Queensland. State of Origin's coming up very soon. And even though I'm wearing blue, I'll be supporting Maroons, and I know I'm in enemy territory already. So that's putting me off to a good start. When it comes to State of Origin, I have to choose Queensland because that's my state of origin. That's where I was born. But hey, I wanted to ask a couple of questions to get this going today. And the first one is this. They're pretty easy questions. I'm sure you'll get it right. If you had a choice between being bankrupt and having money in the bank, which would you choose? Money in the bank. Yeah, easy. You got it right. Yeah, of course, that's what you'd say. And they're sort of dumb questions, really, because the answer could be obvious. But let's keep going. If you had a choice between being healthy and unhealthy, what would you choose? Healthy. Oh, you got it right. You guys are doing good, you know, 10 out of 10. Or 2 out of 2, actually. If you had to choose between knowing God and not knowing God, I think the fact that you're in this room this morning, you would choose, hey, I really want to know God. I'm sure that's the answer. If you had a choice between having the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and not having the power and the presence of your life, I'm sure that you would want to choose having the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. So I've answered the fourth question for us. Today we're wrapping up a series. We've been looking at the Holy Spirit, the power and presence of the Holy Spirit over this last 4 weeks. And I kicked it off. I launched this series a few weeks ago, speaking here. And we gave a bit of a definition of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is not an it or a force. May the force be with you. It's coming up. May the force. It's coming up. Next Saturday, may the force be with you. But it's we've got some Star Wars fans in the room, I think. Yeah, we do. Yep, over here. But the Holy Spirit is the person, presence, and power of God. That's who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a person. And when we kicked off this series, we discovered the fact that we recognize that some people don't know of the Holy Spirit, don't know about the Holy Spirit. Some people resist the Holy Spirit, and some people receive the Holy Spirit into their lives. And the Holy Spirit works in us so that we might get to grasp the wonder and the power and the immensity of God's amazing love for us personally. And the Holy Spirit gives us courage to share the good news of Jesus with others. And the Holy Spirit helps us and transforms us to become more and more like Jesus. If the Holy Spirit is in you, the Holy Spirit has a job. And that job is to help transform us to become more and more like Jesus, to become more, have more of his character. And so there's a verse in the scriptures, in the Bible, it says this: the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these 9 qualities, and if you could add to those 9 the quality of humility, you would basically have a picture of Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit, the result of the Spirit at work in our life is to transform us to become more like this. Now, if you had a choice, again, another question. If you had a choice between being described as these things, and I'm about to, here's the list. If you had a choice of being described as wealthy, influential, powerful, famous, and the fruit of the Spirit, what would you choose? Fruit of the Spirit? One of the things that happens in society, we get brainwashed into thinking that life is about power and wealth and influence and success. And to be gifted and talented is the big aim. And there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves, but the fruit of the Spirit is to be the goal and the desire of the person who follows Jesus, to become more like him in these qualities. So tragically, there was a church that didn't choose the fruit of the Spirit. There was a whole church that once existed that instead of choosing to aim for the fruit of the Spirit in their life, they elevated the gifts of the Spirit, and that's what today's topic is about, the gifts of the Spirit. And they elevated the gifts of the Spirit. This church had deep divisions, it had factions, it had power plays, it was manipulative, there was power struggles, there was selfishness, there was greed, there was pride, there was immorality. I mean, this church, you imagine the kind of church reputation that this church had in the community. And imagine the hurt that it would cause to lots of believers when those are the sort of dynamics that were going on in the life of that church. And I'm talking about a church that once existed. And in fact, Paul wrote a letter to them. He wrote two letters. And one of those letters has the very words that are written or often read at weddings. Words about love. And so let's have a look at what Paul writes in this ancient letter to this church. There was the church at Corinth. And this church, I asked the question about what would you rather, money in the bank or be bankrupt? This church was morally and spiritually bankrupt. I asked the question, would you rather be healthy or unhealthy? And you chose healthy. This church was an unhealthy church. I asked the question of would you rather know God and be in God's will? And you said, yeah. And this church wasn't living according to God's will. And so then Paul had to write to them, and he said some really important words to them. And so he said this. He says this, and yet I am going to show you the most excellent way. If I speak in tongues, languages of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong. You know, I'm not going to play the drums today. But he says, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And then he says, if I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and have all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give everything that I possess, all that I own, and I give it to the poor, and I give my body over to hardship that I might boast about how I'm such a good bloke, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always perseveres. Love never fails. And these words that are often read at a wedding weren't written for a couple who are about to get married. They were written to a church that valued spiritual gifts above the very quality that Jesus stands for. Do you know what's really interesting about the spiritual gifts? They are listed in the Bible several times, at least five, and Peter and Paul are the two authors that mention the spiritual gifts. What's fascinating to me is this. Every time they mention the gifts, either for a whole chapter or a section of a chapter before it or after it, or for some verses before it or after it, they describe a quality that is more important than the gifts. They describe this characteristic, this value, this quality to live by as being more important than the spiritual gifts. And it is, of course, love. Love. Love is selfless. Love is sacrificial. Love is not a gooey feeling. Love is an action that is for the other. That's what love is. And God is love, and God acts for the other. God acts for us. He does stuff for us. And I just want to begin this message today as we look at the spiritual gifts. It's really important that we understand the context. And the first thing that I want to help us understand is this. Love is more important than the spiritual gifts. Don't get me wrong, the gifts are really important. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are vital. Without the gifts, we wouldn't have preaching or teaching or encouragement or organization or pastoral care. Without the gifts, nothing would get done. We wouldn't be blessed by others using their gifts, and we wouldn't have the opportunity to express our gifts to bless others. The gifts are really important. But using our gifts, Paul says, using our gifts all counts for nothing without love. It's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? I mean, if you studied psychology today, some people would say, well, Paul, you're a bit black and white in your thinking. But Paul's telling the truth. That's the reality. Without love, the most gifted person is a noisy gong. Useless. Nothing, he says. So let's put it another way. Character, which is the fruit of the Spirit, is more important than competency expressed in the gifts of the Spirit. Character is more important than competency. And this is something that is really dear to Paul in his writings and dear to the heart of God. Now, so we've set this context for spiritual gifts, all right? So let's dive in. And what is a spiritual gift? Let's look at it. What is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is a God-given ability given to every Christian so that they can use that gift to serve others and build up the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church. And so that's what a spiritual gift is, a God-given ability. And when used with love, a spiritual gift builds up and strengthens the church and makes the world a better place. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12 and he says this, Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Remember, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, some people don't know about the Holy Spirit. Some people resist the Holy Spirit and some people receive the Holy Spirit. It's the same with gifts, it seems. Paul's saying, when it comes to spiritual gifts, I don't want people not to know about the spiritual gifts. That's what he's saying in this verse here. And if you were to have a think about the spiritual gifts that are exercised in the life of our church, there are people who provide, who get on the phone and ring up people and say, hey, how you going? Expressing care. There are people who will serve you a coffee this morning. Using a gift of helping and serving. There are people, when I drove in this morning, before I got in, Clara was there welcoming people at the front steps. There are people who facilitate small groups throughout the week so that people can be nurtured and built up and prayed for and cared for in the context of a small group. There are people who, you know, There's people who serve and get here early in the morning and serve on the desk and learn sound and vision. There's Sunday stuff and there's through the week stuff. There are elders and there are people who serve in so many different ways. We think of our finance team and they serve using their gifts of forecasting and administration. There are lots of different gifts. There's gifts of leadership. There's gifts of generosity. There's gifts. There's just lots of gifts. We'll get to those soon. But Paul goes on. He says, look, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God who is at work. Now to each one, that's each person who's a follower of Jesus, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, there's some big words in there, but let's sum it up. People who recognize that Jesus is Lord, people who genuinely say that Jesus is Lord, can only do that because the Spirit of God is in them and has brought them to that revelation. But there are different gifts, there are different service, there's different kinds of ministries, there's different kinds of workings that the Holy Spirit does. And all of these are expressions of who He is, but there is the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God who are at work. It's important that we recognize this because every person that you meet in life is a person who is loved by God. And every person who is a believer in Jesus is someone who God has given His Spirit to, and not only has He given His Spirit, but He has given them spiritual gifts. And each person who has a gift that is there in them to be used to bless others. And it's important that we recognize that each person to us is a gift from God. Each and every person is a gift from God to us. And each and every person that you meet and say hello to and see this morning is someone who God has given gifts to build up the body of Christ. So who gives the gifts? Well, God does. And Paul and Peter, one place Paul says it's Christ who gives the gifts. Another place he says it's the Holy Spirit who's the giver of the gifts. And Peter says, well, God's the giver of the gifts. You know, I mean, we know with God, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God is the giver of the gifts. And here's some interesting things about gifts. You cannot earn your spiritual gifts. I mean, you can earn money this week when you go to work or have a business and or do whatever you do. You know, you can earn an income, earn wages or salary or business profits, whatever, but you cannot earn your spiritual gift. If you could earn your spiritual gift, it wouldn't be a gift. It's a gift. You cannot choose your spiritual gifts. God is the one who chooses the spiritual gifts that you are given. You can go afterwards. You might go to a place to eat. And you go to the menu and you can choose the menu. Or you go to the shops and you'll choose the toothpaste. You know, your favorite toothpaste or your favorite toothbrush. But you can make those choices. Choose what fruit you're going to eat. Choose what flavored Tim Tam you're going to eat, whatever it is. But you can make those choices. But when it comes to gifts, you can't choose. God is the one who chooses what gifts you get. Another thing about gifts is every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. No single spiritual gift is given to every Christian. And there is no individual Christian who has all of the gifts. But the Holy Spirit gives gifts to us. So why? Why would God give us gifts? Why does the Holy Spirit give us gifts? Here's the reason why. Steph has referred to today, used the word family in talking with you. Family. See, church is described in so many ways in the Bible, but we are family. We are brothers and sisters. We are the body of Christ. We are described by Jesus as his bride. That's pretty powerful. So God has given to each person within his family gifts to be used to build up others and to help the church function and be the best that she can be. You have a part to play in helping Northside Church be the best bride she can be for Jesus. You have a part to play. So let's look at two reasons why. The first reason is God gives spiritual gifts not for our personal benefit, but for the benefit of others. God has given you a gift not so you will get the gift and go, "Ooh, I've got a gift." I'm not going to show you what it is. That's not why God gives us gifts. God gives us a gift so that we will use it to benefit others. If there's one verse that I'd love you to remember from today, it's this next one, where Peter says this in 1 Peter 4:10. This is the memory verse for the week, okay? If you want a memory verse for the week, here's it. Each of you should use whatever gift you have been given, you have received, to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. I love that. See, you and I have a part to play in distributing grace into this church, into the world. You, in the gift that God has given you, by the way, the gift that you have, as you use it, it will be a blessing to others. Now, sometimes people can't see that it's a blessing. Sometimes what happens with gifts is one person might have one or two or three gifts, and another person over here might have one or two or three gifts, and the gifts aren't the same. They might actually be polar opposites. I'll tell you two gifts that can be polar opposites: the gift of leadership and the gift of mercy. Sometimes those two gifts clash. The gift of administration and the gift of apostleship, sometimes those clash. And what's really, really important is that we understand this verse. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its many forms. You are a grace giver. You are loved by God, you are gifted by God, and you are a grace giver. And as a grace giver, people will from you receive grace. As they use their gifts and you're the recipient of it, you will receive grace as someone this uses their gifts and serves. How good would it be if every person who followed Jesus used their gifts? How good would it be if the church worldwide and the church local was unified and stable and mature? How good would it be if there weren't temper tantrums, dummy spits, people getting tossed and turned around by this famous preacher or this famous teacher or this famous leader? How good would it be if, as followers of Jesus, we were solid, mature, and stable? Well, guess what? That's one of the reasons God gives the gifts. The second reason is God gives spiritual gifts to produce unity, maturity, and stability in the church. I'm not going to read it today, but if you want to, read Ephesians 4. And in Ephesians 4, the first 16 verses, you see the reason God gives the gifts is for this one. I've just summed up 16 verses in that little sentence there. So what are the spiritual gifts listed in the New Testament? Well, there's at least five different lists of spiritual gifts. And rather than read every passage, here they are. And if you want to take a photo, take a photo. Or if you want to look later on online, you'll see it. But that's the list of all the spiritual gifts in the New Testament. And Paul wrote those first, the first four, Corinthians, Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, and Peter writes First Peter 4. So there's a list of spiritual gifts. So what you see, there's a real variety of gifts. And what we basically understand from these lists is that it's possible that there are other gifts that didn't get a mention in the Bible. It's possible. Let's just quickly dive in, and then I want to land this with something practical that we can do. There's some cautions about gifts. The caution is, remember, love is more important than the gifts. That's really important. And when you see a gift operating, but you can sometimes sense whether it's coming from a heart of love or not, it's got to be from love. Because without love, it's just a gong. It's just a cymbal. No disrespect for drummers. It's just a noise. It's just nothing without love. All of those gifts, all that list that I just showed you, all of that is nothing without love. Just watch out for gift envy. That's another thing. Gift envy is when you see someone has a gift and you go, oh, I wish I had that. That never happens, does it? Gift envy. We need to be content with the gifts that God has given us. Another thing to watch out for is gift projection. Gift projection is when I have a gift and I want everyone else to have the same gift. Like I might have a gift of evangelism. You know, I just love sharing with people about Jesus and helping them get to know who Jesus is. Everyone should have that gift. But do you know what is interesting? With a lot of the spiritual gifts, there's lots of times, like when the gift is often sometimes a command. For example, there is a spiritual gift called giving, generosity. And people, you know, hands up if you want the gift of generosity. People are like, no, I may not want to get that gift. I might have to give too much away. But the Bible commands us to be generous. Another one is the gift of serving. Some people that's just the way they're wired. They just serve. But guess what? We are commanded also to serve one another in love. So what I'm saying is, this doesn't apply to all the gifts, but there are some gifts that are just gifts and there are some gifts that are also commands. And that'd be an interesting study if you want to get into that one day. But watch out for gift projection because that can happen. So, spiritual gifts, where do you start? Well, here's how you start. First thing you can do is study the scriptures. Read what the scriptures say about gifts. Study what the Bible says. Take a spiritual gifts assessment. And they're available. I'll talk to you a bit more about that soon. Here's another one. Pray. Ask God to show you what your gifts are. Ask God. You can even ask God to give you spiritual gifts. At the end of the day, it's His choice. But ask God to show you what your gifts are and to give you the gifts. Sometimes people who may be wiser than you or more further along in the faith, sometimes they can see a gift in you that you have that you can't see yourself. And so listen and listen to others. And the way you know you have a gift is if it blesses and builds up others. That's how you know it's a gift. If people cringe, like if I was to get on the keyboard today, we could empty the room real fast. Because it's not my gift. But people will be blessed when you use your gift. Ask God to reveal it. Research your gifts. Risk. Take some risks. Try out some things. Maybe review it. Review your gifts. And take training. Now, look, I haven't prepared for this, but perhaps amongst us here today, there are those of you who may not know what your spiritual gifts are. And maybe you'd like to discover those. So here's all I can do for you today, because I haven't set this up. Maybe go to our Connect page or go to our website and just say, hey, interested in spiritual gifts course. Go to the counter out there where the little iPad is and put your details in and say, and just type in, interested in spiritual gifts. And what I may do, depending on how many are interested, I may run a 2-session course. It'd take us 3 hours all up, 2 1.5-hour slots. At some point, I'll plan it depending on the interest. And we'll just help, we'll just do a deep dive into spiritual gifts, help you discover your gifts, and we'll take it from there. So if you're interested, and those of you who are watching online, if you're interested, feel free to do that, and we'll provide that for you. There is a gift that's greater than the spiritual gifts, and that is the gift of Jesus, who paid the price for you and me, who gave his life so that we would be free. We have just celebrated Anzac Day in our nation. We recognize that Jesus said these words, greater love has no one than this, than a person lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus did that for us. And the great gift that he gives us is eternal life. The greatest gift that we could have.
Well, thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to find out more about Northside, visit northsidechurch.org.au.